Shalom and good morning. All right, I'm going to begin with a little Hebrew lesson. I've done this here before, but we'll do it again. Shalom is a Hebrew word. It means hello and goodbye. Some people say that that means that we don't know whether or not we're coming or going, but that's absolutely not true, because shalom is the Hebrew word for peace. So when we greet you with shalom, it's customary to respond with shalom in return. So why don't we try that again, but this time with everyone together, a little louder and Jewish style, shalom.
Shalom.
Much better. Should have said shalom, y'all. It's where I'm originally from, High Point, North Carolina. Let me introduce myself to you very quickly before we open God's Word. My name is Murray Tillis. I'm the founder and director of Light of Messiah Ministries. Our ministry is an outreach to the Jewish community in the metro Atlanta area, in the Southeast, and really around the world. So my wife and I have recently spent a lot of time in Israel, not just taking tours to Israel, but also talking to Israelis, Jewish people, and Arabs, but primarily Jewish people, about Jesus. So the focus, the passion, and the vision of our ministry is communicating the gospel of Jesus to the Jewish community. I'm Jewish. I was born and raised in a religious Jewish home and became a believer in Jesus about 37 years ago while a student in college at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. I don't expect that. And after becoming a believer in Jesus, God called me into ministry, and I've spent the last 34 years in ministry helping my people hear the message of Jesus. So that's the focus of our work. But another part of the work that we do is helping our brothers and sisters in Christ, you all, learn more about the Jewish people, the Jewish roots of our faith, where we come from as a faith community, connections between the Old Testament and the New Testament, what's happening in Israel and the Middle East from a biblical perspective. And so some of my time is spent teaching and helping people to learn more about what's happening in the world from a biblical perspective, and we can address some of the issues that are going on now in the marches that are happening in Washington, D.C., and neo-Nazis and the KKK. Well, I mean, my people are part of that because my people are hated because we're Jewish. But the most important thing for me in my life is helping my people hear the message of Jesus. So today, this morning, in the message, we're going to be talking a little bit about the proclamation of the gospel. And then in Sunday school, I hope y'all stick around, because after the message and after the morning service, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to be sharing my testimony with you, and we're going to have a question and answer time. So a big part of what we're going to be doing in Sunday school is just interacting about the Jewish people and questions that Jewish people ask and how we can understand the Jewish community in Israel and the Bible better from a Jewish perspective. And then tonight we're going to be coming back, what time, buddy? 6 o'clock tonight. And I'm going to be reporting to you, showing some videos, and reporting to you, telling you what's happening in Israel and here in the United States in relationship to the gospel, to the Jewish people. We live in such critical, amazing, important times. And I think that one of the most important things that we need to understand is what the world looks like through a biblical perspective. But this morning in the message, and we're going to be doing that all day, this morning in the message, I was talking to Buddy before I came. I said, where have you guys been in the Bible? And he said, you've been in Joshua, right? You've been studying Joshua. And so I'm not going to read in chapter 1 of Joshua, be strong and courageous, because Joshua was going in to a place where God had called him. He was taking the Israelites into the land. And God told Joshua to be strong and courageous. But I want to look at another story this morning that's kind of connected to Joshua, but we're going to be looking at a New Testament narrative, a New Testament story. If you have your Bibles with me, open them up to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Now this is Peter and John before the Sanhedrin. But I want to give you a little background information. Acts chapter 4, let's read it first. We're going to be reading Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. And we're going to read a long story, so we're going to go 21 verses. But let's look at what was going on. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them all in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. The next day, the rulers and elders and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, "By what power and what name did you do this?" Verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are now asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus the Messiah of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone." Salvation, verse 12, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by men by which we must be saved." When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they can do. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin and then conferred together. Verse 16. "What are we going to do with these men?" they asked. "Everybody living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in the name of Jesus," in this name. Verse 18. "Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they left them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened, for the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. Acts chapter 4. We're going to be looking at Peter and John, but let me give you a little background information. What was happening here was happening during the Jewish festival of Shavuot. Y'all ever heard of Shavuot before? Have you ever heard of Pentecost before? Okay, well, it was a Jewish festival. Pentecost is actually the Greek for the Hebrew Shavuot, the festival that they had just been or were celebrating at this time. Now, you have to understand Peter and John and what the disciples had gone through. This was about 42 days after the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So they were celebrating, actually it's 50 days, they were celebrating a Jewish festival during which time the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon them. But prior to that, not long before that, a month and a half before that, Jesus was crucified, buried, and resurrected. So we talk about Good Friday in the church, but it was not Good Friday for the disciples. It was Bad Friday. They were scared. The one whom they had followed was crucified. It wasn't Good Friday for them. They were all Jewish believers in this one who went to the cross. They were scared. They went into hiding. They were scared. And we talk about the resurrection of Jesus and the most important historical event for us as believers in Jesus. But Easter Sunday for the disciples, I mean, think about it for a second. Bunch of Jewish guys, a part of a little teeny tiny Jewish sect, following this person, Jesus, who was crucified. Easter Sunday for them was not anything, it didn't have anything to do with bunnies and eggs. And let me tell you something, just to let you know, don't be shocked when I tell you this, I don't want anybody to get up and leave, but you really do need to know that Jesus didn't celebrate Christmas and Easter. But Easter Sunday, you've got to think about these Jewish followers of Jesus going to a cemetery, to a tomb, expecting to find Jesus. And he was gone. He was gone. They were scared, terrified. And then we read, he appeared and he showed himself to them. And in Acts chapter 1, we read that he spent 40 days with the disciples teaching them about the kingdom. Acts chapter 2 was actually the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the early Jewish believers in Jesus. It gave them the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit gave them the power to go and share the message of Jesus to the entire world. Acts chapter 3. Peter and John going to the temple, which they normally did. Peter and John saw a man there who was crippled, who needed healing. He said, "Can you give me something?" They said, "We can't give you any money, but what we can give you, we give to you. In the name of Jesus, stand up." And he stood up. And so all of this was going on, and we come to Acts chapter 4. So I want you to understand and feel just a little bit about what they were feeling 2,000 years ago, these early Jewish followers of Jesus. Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, what happened? After they healed this man, they were seized, they were taken away by the Jewish leaders of their day and sequestered, put in prison because of what they'd done, and the Jewish leaders of their day didn't know what to do. Acts chapter 4. The first thing I want you to see in Peter and John was their confidence. Their confidence in the Messiah who had touched their lives. We read in verse 1 that the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. The leaders, the priests and the captain of the temple guard were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Now you have to, again, remember where they were. They were in Jerusalem. And for any of you who have been there, to put into context where they were in the middle of all of these people, their people, my people, who were looking at them, and they could have very easily run. They could have hidden. They could have gone in the other direction. But here in the beginning of Acts chapter 4, we see Peter and John with confidence, teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. So Peter and John, Shavuot, Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. First, we see the confidence that they had to proclaim Jesus, his death, his resurrection in that environment. Remember, all of this is taking place within a Jewish environment, in a Jewish land. All of the people who were involved in this were Jewish. And so I can tell you from my own personal experience, when I became a believer in Jesus, having been raised in a religious Jewish home, When my mom and my dad were so upset and angry with me, I was disowned by my parents because of my faith in Jesus and because I chose to go into ministry to help my people hear the message that I'm talking to you about right now, I can tell you it wasn't easy. I was scared. I was scared. In the words of Jesus, he said in the book of Matthew and elsewhere, if you follow me, you are going to receive persecution. You will be kicked out of the synagogues. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. And you follow me, sometimes even those of your own home, I have come to set a mother against a daughter, a father against a son. Sometimes your enemies will be those of your own household, the people who you love the most. But we see Peter and John confidently sharing the death and the resurrection of Jesus. The second thing I want you to see in the lives of Peter and John, confidence. Secondly, I want you to see their courage. Two different things, because we go on into Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 8, because the rulers and elders and teachers, they were meeting together, trying to figure out what to do. In verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, he said to them, standing in front of the Supreme Court of his day, the Jewish Supreme Court of his day, he said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus, the Messiah of Nazareth, who you crucified. It's by his name that this man can walk. And I want to focus on verse 12. Peter says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given but to men by which we must be saved. Okay, so when I speak in church, one of the jobs that I have to do is help people understand that my people need Jesus. And that's like one of my jobs. Because there are a lot of people in the church who wonder about Israel, who wonder about the Jewish people. And you don't have to raise your hands, but I would love to know how many of you have ever wondered in your minds, how many have ever thought what happens to a Jewish person if they die and they don't know Jesus? They are God's chosen people. They are the apple of his eye. They are loved with an everlasting love. Romans chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 says that, I tell you this mystery, my brothers, a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in, and thus all Israel will be saved. How many of you have ever wondered what happens to a Jewish person if they die and don't know Jesus? Anybody? You can just nod. It's okay. I know a lot of people have wondered that. They wonder that in the church. I want to lay this question to rest very quickly. Two questions for you all. Did Jesus say, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me? Absolutely. And here we are in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Peter, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So, did Peter say that? Third question, this is not as easy as the first two. We know Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. We know Peter said, salvation comes in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Third question, when Jesus said what he said and Peter said what he said, were there any non-Jewish people there to hear them say it? No. No, there weren't. Now, how do I know that? Because when Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me, he was at his last Passover meal. 11 disciples were there. Judas had already left. It was a Passover during which he proclaimed the fact that he is the Lamb of God. He took unleavened bread, a symbol of sinless nature. He took a little bit of the fruit of the vine. He lifted them up, looked at his disciples. They were the only ones there. And he said, I am the Passover Lamb. And I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. They were all Jewish. Let's go back to our text. Where were Peter and John when Peter said, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be? Where were they? Where were they? A Jewish festival in Jerusalem, Jewish people gone up there to celebrate the latter harvest spring festival. They healed a cripple. They were taken into custody by the Jewish Sanhedrin, the Jewish Supreme Court of their day. And Peter said, salvation comes in no other name. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It was a Jewish Peter speaking to the Jewish Supreme Court. Text. But the fact that he had that courage. So we've seen the courage and the confidence of Peter. The last thing I want you to see is the conviction of Peter. Verse 18 of chapter 4. Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. The confidence, they didn't run. The courage, they stood in front of the Supreme Court of their day and said, there is no other way to the Father. And then when they're told to stop, they say, we can't. We can't. We can't stop. No matter what any man says, no matter what any person says, we can't stop. Their conviction. They were compelled by God to tell their people, my people, my loved ones, don't forget, I'm Jewish. Don't forget what I do. I spend my life, my time, my heart, my passion trying to help my people hear the message of Jesus and have been told to stop many, many, many times. I have to drop a name just for the fun of it. Have you ever heard of a man by the name of Jay Sekulow? He's a dear friend. And way back in the day, we're talking 1990. Not 1920. But way back in my day. Wait, that's a long, is that not a long time? Maybe it's not a long time. Maybe I shouldn't have said way back in the day. Just a few years ago in 1990, Jay and Pam are dear friends, and we love them. And they, you know, Jay's a Jewish believer in Jesus. I don't know if you knew that or not. But he's also an amazing lawyer who cares about the rights of those to be able to say what they want to say. And First Amendment rights are one of his passions and specialties. In the early 90s, do y'all remember? Well, see, we're in St. Louis. Go Braves, right? No, I'm kidding. I'm ruining my entire reputation at this point. Atlanta Fulton County Stadium, prior to the building of Turner Field, I was out there just at that time. We handed out tracts and talked to people in the marketplace, and I was handing out tracts, and Atlanta Fulton County Stadium said cease and desist, and Jay, God bless him, and his ministry helped our ministry to be able to continue to share the gospel at Atlanta Fulton County Stadium. But my point is that God calls us to a witness with confidence, with courage, and with conviction. And we see in Peter, in John, those qualities. They didn't run. They stood strong, and they wouldn't stop. They didn't run. They stood strong, and they wouldn't stop. But I want, for just a moment now, hold on to that picture of Peter and John in the Sanhedrin, the Supreme Court of their day. Hold on to the picture of their confidence, their courage, and their conviction. But less than a month and a half prior to what we are reading here in Acts chapter 4, let me read to you about Peter. Okay, less than a month and a half prior to what we're reading here in Acts chapter 4, let me read to you about Peter. Just listen. Then seizing him, this is Jesus, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance. But when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with Jesus." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him." A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You are one of them." "Man, I am not," said Peter. About an hour later, Another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, Jesus, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord Jesus turned, looked at Peter straight in the eyes. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord Jesus had spoken to him before the rooster crows today, "You will disown me three times." And Peter went outside and wept. Acts chapter 4. Peter and John, confident, courageous, conviction. They knew what they wanted to do. They had the confidence to do it. They didn't run. They were strong. They were courageous. They wouldn't stop. A month and a half later, Peter denied Jesus. A month and a half prior, Peter denied Jesus. What made the difference? What made the difference in Peter's life? Jewish fisherman, a nobody, the disciples, scared, young men who had nothing, then called by Jesus, didn't really understand what was going on. What made the difference? On Shavuot. You know what is Pentecost? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was the power of the Holy Spirit that gave them courage, confidence, and conviction. And then I would love to continue, you know, diving into Peter's life. But you know what? What did Peter go on to do? So we look back in Luke. We see how Peter denied the Lord. 50 days later, approximately, he was there in Jerusalem with confidence and courage and conviction, sharing the message of Jesus. And then we can look on to 1st and 2nd Peter, the life of Peter. What happened? Peter went on to mature in his faith. As a seasoned believer near the end of his life, having gone through all that he had gone through, Peter was able to write. Peter was able to write, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Peter, who denied Jesus, as a mature believer, looked at those who had never seen Jesus. Peter had not only seen Jesus, he denied Jesus. Peter had not only seen Jesus, he was afraid in Jesus' presence. Peter had not only seen Jesus, he fell asleep while with Jesus. Peter went on later in his life to write, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled." Was Peter a self-controlled person when he denied Jesus in Luke? No. He was scared. He was full of fear. He didn't want to be associated with Jesus. But later on in his life, Peter said, "Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed." Peter went on to become a mature seasoned follower of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to bring the message home by encouraging you all with a few points of application. Don't forget Peter, Acts chapter 4, filled with confidence, and John, filled with confidence, courage, and conviction. But Peter denied Jesus. Then he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he went on to become not only a faithful disciple and follower, but mature believer who is encouraging others in their faith. Keep Peter in your thoughts this week as your challenge, as you're out in the world wondering about your own life related to others around you. The second point, I'm going to read this because I just thought of it last night and it sounded really good, so I'm going to read it now. You can only do what you do based upon the experiences you have and how those experiences have helped you to become who you are. Did you get that? I don't know if I got it. But it's true. You can only do what you do based upon the experiences that you have and how those experiences have helped you to become who you are and who God wants you to be. After 33 years of marriage, my wife and I are learning a little bit more about the experience of marriage and figuring out the fact that after 33 years of marriage, we still don't know what we're doing, but we're a little bit wiser, a little bit more thoughtful. We realize that there are certain things that make bigger differences than other things. But Peter's life went on. He wrote 1st and 2nd Peter. The same Peter who's in Acts. Same Peter who's in Luke. And the last point I want to make this morning is from Joshua. It's from Joshua. And from Acts. This is what I want to say in closing. Choose you this day who you will serve. And there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Choose you this day who you are going to serve. And there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And yes, there's a Jewish, little Jewish guy up here telling you this. So I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord. I hope that this morning the text has spoken to you, but I'm going to ask every one of you to think about your own life in relationship to Jesus. And choose you this day who you are going to serve. So, I know you've heard the gospel before. I know you've heard the gospel before. But my question to you is, have you ever responded to that gospel? In your heart, you know who you're serving. In your heart, you know. But choose you this day who you will serve. And I'm going to say to any one of you here this morning who has yet to say yes to Jesus and completely given your life to Him and completely said to Him, I want to walk with you with confidence, with courage, and with conviction. Please help me because I can't do it on my own. No matter what battle you're going through right now, internally or externally, God wants to meet with you. And so we are going to open the altar for that to happen. If you have a prayer request, if you need anybody to talk to, or if you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, if you want to give your life to Jesus for the first time, I'm going to ask Buddy to come on up, and we are going to open the altar for anybody who God is speaking to this morning.